Episode 2, Jordan and the Ancient Bible World, Understanding Geography Through Religion. The first map that I am going to cover during this episode is from the year 150 AD, while the last is during the year 1320. Ancient maps are religious in nature, and capture the landscape to fit a religious and spiritual ideology. Through the history below, you will see Jordan portrayed as a land of prophets, and with cartoons of religious figures scattered throughout maps that are not scientifically nor geographically accurate. Rather, these maps capture the worldview of their drafter. I will zoom in on most closely on the famous Madaba map that is celebrated in Jordan. The earliest map of the Jordan area is thought to be Ptolemy's Asia map, drafted in 150 AD. Most of Ptolemy's works in antiquity were thought to have been atlases with attached maps. However, no manuscript of his geography, a graphical atlas of the 2nd century Roman Empire, survived earlier than the 13th century. So the earliest version we actually see is a copy from Ptolemy's books of a map which was then assembled from the information provided by Maximus Planudes, who was a Byzantine scholar in the year 1300. The map was considered the first attempt at delineating the region. The large letters found in the center of the map are written in Greek and are translated to Palestinus, now known as Palestine. The most significant feature in this map of the Levant region in the Middle East is the Jordan River, which is clearly highlighted in blue. Here, the Jordan River is not a dividing force, but a feature of the landscape around which identical settlements are portrayed. The next map comes 250 years later and is called the Notitia Dignitatum map, and is a document from the Roman Empire which accurately represents the western part of the empire and the Byzantine Empire during the years 390 to 420 AD. Surprisingly, the map has no author and is one of the few surviving documents of this period. The full Jordanus, or the Jordan River, is drawn near the center of the map with castles on either side. Moreover, it seems like the map is representing one country settled by friendly and similar rulers, and the Jordan River is more of a small stream that can be crossed rather than a major natural barrier, separating two separate entities. Their exaggerated animals and comical sizing of castles compared to the size of the Jordan, reflecting the understanding of the cartographer on rulers alone defining the landscape. Then comes the Madaba map, which is a major cartographical feature of this age. Its discovery is important to record as it prompted the beginning of massive interest and exploration in Jordan. The earliest Madaba, or Midaba as it was written in the Bible, numbers 2130 during the conquest of several other Moabite cities by the Amorite king Sihun of Heshbon, a feisty little settlement. Madaba continued to play a role in the Hellenistic period conflicts. In 106 AD, following the Nabataeans' defeat in Petra by Trajan, the entire region was incorporated into the Roman province of Arabia. During the late Roman period, Christianity took root in Madaba, and the village saw a bishop as early as the mid-5th century. The first European to visit Madaba was the German explorer Ulrich Seidzin in 1806. Then came a Swiss man named Johann Burckhardt, who has been credited with the introduction of Petra to the Western world followed him a few years later, and noted the water collection and storage system. It is interesting to learn that in 1806, the discovery of the Moabite stone in Dehban caused enough excitement for an entire generation of aspiring archaeologists to become fascinated by Jordan. The stone, also known as the Stele of King Mesha, is one of the most important direct accounts in the history of commemorating the victory of the Moabs against the Israelites, which re-established the independence of the Moabs. It is etched in a variant of the Phoenician alphabet, paying tribute to the sovereign, celebrating his great works during the reign of Ahab, son of Amri. However, the stone is no longer found in Jordan, rather, it is in the Louvre. At the request of the Christian families, the Holy Synod of Jerusalem in May 1892 approved the construction of a church in Madaba. By 18 September 1892, sufficient reconciliation had taken place and the plans were fit onto the foundation of the ancient church. The plans were ultimately sent to Damascus to be forwarded to Constantinople for final approval. 2 years later, the Patriarch of Jerusalem, Gerasimus granted the Holy Synod permission to begin construction. Upon receiving approval from Constantinople in 1894, almost a month later, the architect Astanio Andreikas, in the company of Deacon Germanus, were welcomed by the villagers. On the 23rd of October 1894, the excavators began to uncover the foundations of the old church. Less than 2 years later, the construction of the church and its roof had been completed, and the architect was ready to proceed to the next steps to plaster the interior walls and paint the floor. While sifting through the debris, workers came upon a mosaic pavement. Having found the mosaic, Andreikas left for Jerusalem to request their help in providing him with a mosaic expert. And so it was that the young scholar Cleopas Proclides was ordered by Photius, the deputy to the patriarch, to return with Andreikas on a tour of the Christian Orthodox communities in Transjordan and examine the mosaic map in Madaba once he arrived there. The mosaics in Madaba form a map, and it is considered the most historic surviving illustration of the Holy Land, and specifically Jerusalem. It covers a region that stretches from Lebanon to the Nile Delta, and from the Mediterranean Sea to the Eastern Desert. The Madaba map shows two fish swimming in the Jordan, two fishing boats on the Dead Sea, and the bridges connecting both sides of the Jordan River. All locations are marked with names and descriptions in Greek. The Jordan River is one of the most important locations on this map, connecting two biblical areas of importance. One of the two fish portrays a miserable look as it swims away from the Dead Sea. The other, however, shows no emotions, as it is possibly unaware of the Dead Sea that lies ahead of it. The Madaba map is of massive importance, as it is referenced by scholars for matters relating to biblical sites. In addition, the Madaba map possibly shows all biblical sites found in the Levant region. During my interview with Dr. Belwald, I asked,
I have a question on your opinion of the Madaba map.
You know, the Madaba map is unique because it's the only one of this period which has survived large scale. From other maps of this period, we have only small fragments.
The Madaba map's purpose has yet to be determined. Scholars have speculated that it may have served as a pilgrimage guide for early Christians. Although its permanent location in a church precludes this idea, pilgrims typically required quick and practical assistance. Irfan Shahid, reviving an older theory, claims that the map depicts Moses' final vision of the Promised Land from atop the Transjordanian peak of Nebo. Shahid goes on to say that the 6th century was a pivotal period in Moses' Christianization and the crystallization of the Christian Holy Land. These maps appear to have been used to construct in addition to reflecting Christian history. What do you think the Madaba map was used for? When I asked Dr. Belwald about his opinion, he said,
it was, the Madaba map was once not unique. It was something which you found in almost all these churches along the pilgrimage routes, because pilgrims had to get to know where to go. These maps were mainly itineraries for the pilgrims to find the next location where they had to go. And most of these maps were not, as in Madaba, on the floor of the church, but on the walls. And unfortunately, all these walls collapsed during earthquakes, so we only have small fragments. And the uniqueness of the Madaba map, there is also another such itinerary which is preserved, but it's no more an original. It's a medieval copy. And most of these itineraries, if you want maps for the pilgrims to get to know where to walk or to ride on donkeys or mules or horses.
As a warning to all our casual listeners, the next section might be a bit heavy and might only be pleasant for those who consider themselves map nerds. Finally, there is the Boethius map, which was one of the most important maps in the early period of the Middle Ages. It was drafted by Boethius, a Spanish monk, and was based on the maps mentioned earlier. In the Bible, and Ptolemy's narrative and Isidore of Seville, a Spanish scholar and cleric. The map was the first Christian world map, and is not an exact world map. The map appears at the start of Boethius' second work, Commentary of the Apocalypse. The Boethius map divided Palestine into four areas. The Sea of Tiberiades, where many of the apostles worked as fishermen, Galilee, where they crucified Jesus Christ, and Monte Tabor, the location of the Transfiguration. The work assumes that the earth is a flat plane, and though attempts to be scientific, the exaggeration of certain geographical features celebrating the Jordan River reflects a very myopic understanding of the world at that time. In addition, the map is oriented eastwards rather than the standard north. The Tournai map of the 12th century is a copy of the map of Asia, of a 4th to 5th century work of Jerome, or Saint Jerome, who is a priest, historian, and theologian. The map shows the Mediterranean Sea on the bottom right, the Black Sea and Caspian Sea on the left, the Indian Ocean on top. There is much exaggerated importance given to the Jordan River and the Holy Land. Divisions were drawn undermining nature and celebrating man-made territories. This period also saw a 1250 Oxford Outremer map by Matthew Paris, an English Benedictine monk, who quotes on his map the text, "This river, which is small, divides Syria from Palestine. That is the Holy Land, which is to the south, and Palestine, which is to the north." The year 1300 saw Butchard of Mausian, a German priest, Dominican friar, pilgrim and author who traveled to the Jordan region and documented his journey in the Holy Lands to produce his first map. There is also the Sanudo Visconti map in 1320, by the Genoese geographer Pietro Visconti, a cartographer who pioneered map-making in the 1300s to 1400s and is credited with the creation of the Portland Nautical Chart and influenced map-making throughout the 14th and 15th century. This map is the first non-Ptolemaic map and rekindled the spirit of the Crusaders in a modern map effort. The Jordan River is enormous and almost looks like an ocean along the bottom of the page. There appears to be nothing beyond it. The world is interpreted through the eyes of the early crusaders, leading to the next section. Ancient maps of the Jordan region usually reflected Jordan's importance as a Christian historical location, but not the accurate size of the region scientifically. They were rather cartoon-like, celebrating the Jordan River. These maps did not move much beyond the mapping of biblical sites to reflect the geography of the area. Thank you for listening to episode 2.